Hello, everybody. My name is Clarence Napier, the multi-state insurance broker located kind of in two locations, Georgia and California, until I change my state of residence legally from California to Georgia. I'm still a California resident and I still have a physical address in California. My insurance brokerage is a multi-state insurance brokerage licensed in California, Washington, Florida, Georgia, Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Michigan, and the state of Texas. So today's podcast episode is a continuation, and this will probably be the last one of this type. And it's called Da Mama Doesn't Mean Much Anymore. Does not mean anything much anymore. And it's a crappy, you know, acronym, I guess. This will be the last podcast episode of that series, but I really need to emphasize in this last episode that small business owners, especially realtors, in the wake of the NAR settlement, and we know that settlement is coming up here in the next probably 60 days or so, 60 to 90 days, July 15th, 2024 is the magic date for things to be finalized. I'm not confident that they will find ways to fix it, but nonetheless, you know, the DOJ, our government, seems to me will find any way to mess up a good thing. And I just want to give kudos to this realtor. I think he is in Texas, and he basically said that before the settlement, buyer's agents were already compensated by the seller, because when the sales price includes the 4 or 5 or 6% commission, whatever the number is, whatever the negotiated number is, the buyer was financing the commission to the buyer's agent. So I want to say kudos to that guy, and I'm going to give him a call in Texas and just personally thank him, because that's how I roll. You know, I pick up the phone and I call people that I want to talk to. And, you know, if they want to talk to me, great. If they don't want to talk to me, that's fine too. But at least I make the attempt. And that's sort of the spirit of these last four podcast episodes when it comes to all small business owners, but especially realtors. So this episode is just going to talk about the beginning and the end, or the contacting prospecting stage and the closing stage. And when I say closing for real estate sales, I'm not talking about close of escrow, the title company meeting with the real estate attorney to finalize all the docs, and the buyer gets the keys from the seller, and, you know, the net proceeds go out to the seller, and, you know, all those things happen. I'm not talking about that type of closing. I'm talking about the closing where the real estate agent and the seller or buyer agree to work together. That is the part where there's going to be some issues. There's going to be some issues, especially with the seller, and some issues with the buyer, you know, because the NAR settlement is basically saying the seller can kind of, like, you know, throw out a commission amount, whether it be a rate or a flat fee or an hourly fee, whatever he or she chooses. And like I said in yesterday's episode, you know, real estate agents need to stop talking about value, especially at this beginning stage, because those sellers don't give a rip about value when it comes to how much of a net proceeds they will receive on their home. They don't care about value anymore. And we know, you know, I mean, I was a realtor in California for about 5 or 6 years, and then a mortgage broker for 5 years before that. And in that time, I was also an insurance broker, so I was doing all three. And, you know, value is used when you can't, when there's nothing hot on the burner, there's nothing big to talk about, but the seller's net proceeds surpasses any kind of value you can bring, you know, so especially when it comes to this commission thing. So as an example, if a 6% commission paid by the seller will give the seller a net proceeds of $400,000, or a 3%, you know, commission to the seller's agent or the listing agent will give the seller, let's say $415,000. Just throwing these numbers out there. That's a $15,000 difference. What value can surpass a seller getting $15,000 extra? It doesn't exist. You know, the only thing I can say, if there is value, it's going to be the value that I'm going to talk about now to help, you know, real estate agents, listing agents, get that maximum commission split on the listing agreement. So here we go. Okay, so the contacting and prospecting part. So we're talking about, you know, you being out in the street, you know, at the coffee shop, at the bank, and I got two suggestions that real estate agents wear a shirt that says you are a real estate agent. Okay? And or the other option is don't wear the shirt that says you are a real estate agent. Now I'll give you two examples with the contacting. Okay, with the real estate shirt on, if you're out and about, then people can see that you are a realtor. And trust me, they are judging every movement you make. They're judging the car you drive. They're judging how you're dressed, your makeup, you know, how you act in the public. So if you're acting a fool in the public, like I see a lot of realtors on social media, that could be a turnoff to people who may want to sell your house. That could be a turnoff to sellers who want you to sell their home. And just to pause for a second, there's a book called How to Work a Room. I really recommend that real estate agents buy that book, How to Work a Room. It's a book about how you are perceived in the public, and especially in places where you walk into a location. So if you're wearing a shirt, you know, just make sure everything else is cool. I mean, you don't have to be all dolled up and you know, have like the $500 haircut or the $1,000 nails or the $500, you know, shirt or skirt. Just be a regular person. And like I said on podcast episodes years ago, beauty is not necessarily a winning thing now, you know, for any type of sales. It's the average looking person that, in my opinion, it has the best opportunity to close as many deals, because they're not caught up in this superficial stuff about how they look. But when you're out and about, you know, go out dressed, you know, casually, you know, professionally, and not like you're walking across the red carpet in Hollywood. You know, I can say that. I used to live in LA. So that's wearing the shirt. If you're not wearing a real estate shirt, then it's a little bit more easier to communicate with people, because people do not have any preconceived notions about the reasons why you are communicating with them. All they see is a regular person. And my consulting firm, 321 Biz Development, I have not a script, but I have a role playing thing where, you know, a person can engage a prospect. Because when you talk to a prospect, you don't know if he or she wants to sell a house. So you have to engage that person in a very comfortable and a non-threatening way. I do that all the time with insurance prospects. When I'm out and about, like I met these two Medicare ladies in Georgia, and the thing that got the ball started was that the lady's first name is the same first name of my mom. So that was my end. So what I did, I said, excuse me. I said, ma'am, that's Georgia. I say, ma'am, did I hear that your first name was such and such? And she just smiled. She goes, yes, that's my first name. And I said, oh, that's my mom's first name. And, you know, I showed her a picture of my mom, you know, my phone, and proof that my mom's first name was the same as her name. So whatever you do, it has to be authentic. It can't be fake. It can't be things like, oh, it's such a beautiful day. And, you know, it's lightning and thundering and the winds are blowing at 50 miles an hour. Okay, that could be considered beautiful to some people. I like the rain, to be honest with you. But whatever you say, it has to be honest and authentic. So if you don't have the shirt on, just engage in this conversation, you know, and engage in these conversations where you're talking about their family, maybe you're talking about their income, how they like the area. And here's the kicker. Make sure they are talking more than you are talking, and never interrupt them while they're talking. And so, you know, let them talk for like 5 minutes, and you know, good people will say, wait a minute, I've been talking a little bit too long. Tell me something about you, Clarence. Okay? And that's when you... So, in other words, I have a plan of action for this scenario. And it works every time. And it's not a gimmick. It's not a plot. It's general conversation, because you have the final decision whether or not you want to tell that person you're a realtor. And sometimes you may not want to tell the person you're a realtor. And sometimes the person may give you some hints that they're looking for a home. So I got that part all covered. I've been using this contacting, prospecting sort of a role play thing for, gosh, like 25 years. Even when I was in corporate America, I used it a little bit. But I used it a lot in independent sales. So those are the two things, shirt versus no shirt. And when you're having that conversation, see what's happening here when you talk to a person in public and you are a realtor or any business owner, like a CPA, someone who offers professional services, what people get to see is that you can communicate on a regular level. You're not like the real estate database. You're not talking about how many freaking homes, you know, closed last month, days on market, you know, the volume of homes on the market is increasing. It's 23% more this quarter than last quarter. People don't give a rip about that when they're trying to find out who you are and what you're about. So when you're having this conversation, remember the person is interviewing you in a sense. Even if you don't even talk about real estate, they're interviewing you to find out if you and they are compatible, just to have a general conversation. And once the person starts talking a lot, that's your sign that person sees you as someone they can relate to and you are compatible with the person, with the prospect. So I have a lot of information. The training I have, we talk about this in at great length. So let's move to the closing phase. So you're meeting with the person at their home about selling that house. And now comes the biggie. You know, you have to talk about your commission split, because a lot of these consumers are finding out that that the commission split is negotiable. It's always been negotiable, but the hype and the media, and even in Florida, where I was born down in Fort Myers, people are receiving mailers talking about the lawsuit and how some people may get money back from the lawsuit. And consumers are looking at this and they're like, what lawsuit? Oh, the NAR settlement where someone allegedly got damaged. I think it's more than allegedly, but I think it was all a setup where someone got damaged because of a commission determination challenge and some wrong was done to that seller. And so the consumers are saying, what? what happened? So now they're starting to dig. They're starting to know about this. And I think it was intentional that they put this letter out to sort of quasi communicate the issue to the public. So now the public is being informed. So you're sitting with this person. Now you've already met this person maybe a couple of weeks ago in person. So this person is vibing with you at a pretty good level if they decide to let you come in and talk about listing their home. Okay. So you have a lot of points in your favor to get you to that 3%. So what you want to do when you get there, and I can help realtors design this sheet called the prospect interview form. I use it for all of my businesses, for consulting, for insurance sales. I've helped other business owners like dentists and CPAs and attorneys use a prospect interview form specifically designed for their profession. Okay, so when you use this prospect interview form, the goal is to get them talking about what they are looking for in the sale of this home. So what you're really offering, I'm gonna throw some corporate language out there to you. You're looking to provide a great sales experience. Even if the person does not sign with you, or if they do sign with you, it's about the experience that you're leaving them with. And that experience should be a good one. Again, I repeat, regardless if they give you the listing or not, you want to give them a great sales experience. And please do not get offended by the word sales, because all business owners are sales. I don't care what you're marketing, attorney, dentist, chiropractor, plastic surgeon, insurance agent, real estate agents. We are in sales. And there is, quote unquote, a religion that is associated with sales. And there's bad religion with sales and there's good religion with sales. So I'm giving you the good part. So again, these questions are going to help you get that person talking about what they're looking for as a great sales experience if they select you to sell their homes. And then there's part two of the prospect interview form. And then there's a part three to the prospect interview form. And the part two section is for you to just re-examine their answers to your question. Rehash the answers to the questions and to get them to validate to really agree that these issues about selling their home is important. And then the last part is when you make your statement that you can help them, and that you're asking them that, you know, if you can do everything so the last part is the part where you make your statement about what you will do, and it involves communicating with the sellers about how you will help them. And it does not have to be very detailed, you know. And then you need to ask them two questions in this process. I can't give you the details of this last part because that's proprietary information, but you want to ask them two questions, and I'll give you a hint. The questions are formed for them to tell you no, they don't want you. They get to make a decision. In other words, you're basically saying, if you don't want me, after you have explained. So the essence of the last section is for you to say, in a sense, I can't give you the exact verbs and nouns and sentence, is, I know what you're looking for, but if you don't think I can help you, don't pick me. So you're asking two questions like that at the end. And there's something amazing that happens at appointments when business owners use the prospect interview form. So that's all I can tell you. But just make sure that you prepare yourself, make sure that you put action out on the front end where you meet, you know, 10, 20 people a week. You know, whether you think they are qualified or not, you have to meet them. And then you can tell if they're qualified or not, meaning they have a home to sell, they're looking to buy the home, or they're just not a good fit. But you have to make contact with these people. And you can't say, oh, I want to talk to people that drive that kind of car, or I just want to talk to people of a certain race. You can't do that, because stuff is getting real. My name is Clarence Napier, the multi-state insurance broker. Website, insforsure.com. Toll-free telephone number, 866-901-9876. Take care. Make it a great day.